On this episode of Star Trek Universe, we are talking about Strange New Worlds 108, the Elysium Kingdom. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
It looks right. We're talking about that right after these words from our mystery sponsors.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No. Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Star Trek Universe, the podcast where you get to listen in to two lifelong friends chat about Star Trek. My name is Matthew Carroll.
I'm David C. Robertson.
What's happening, Dave?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't.
No clue, eh?
I do not. This episode did some things that made me even more curious. Like, I've had some suspicions, and I thought, look, man, they're just updating the aesthetic. It's okay. But you know what? I think they're telling us what they're doing now.
Okay. Tell me what you think.
Well, you have this little girl, you know, that's dying, and she and her dad's reading her this book, and he says, and she's like, "Well, I hate this part because this is I don't want it to end this way." And the whole point of this episode is you can change the ending.
Right.
You know, they've been hinting at all these things that, like, we're sitting here going, like, one of the biggest problems with this show is that I sit there and go, well, I know Spock doesn't wind up with Chapel. What do I care? Well, I know, you know, Uhura doesn't leave Starfleet. What do I care? I know Pike doesn't, you know, get away from his whatever beep chair fate. What do I care? But it definitely seems like they keep kind of, like, throwing out like these little false hopes, like it might change. And now in this episode, you know, we have this girl fated to die, and she changes her fate. She changes the future.
Wait, in what way do you say she's fated to die?
Well, because if he can't figure out a way to help her, she's going to die.
Right, but there's not like an outside source that says she does die in the end.
Well, or anything. But thematically, she does. Thematically, there it is, because she says she hates the ending for that story,
and then I agree with that.
You can, and he actively says you can change the ending. You can, when you're better, you can write your own ending.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about an outside of this episode.
No. So it seems like they are pushing an idea. They're easing us into this notion that endings can be changed, and the Star Trek universe as we know it might not be the actual ending for these characters. Like, they might branch off in some way, and I hope they do, because this is one of the biggest things really keeping me from getting invested in the show.
I hear you. I did not get that at all. I did not think this was any kind of meta commentary about the show itself. Mm-hmm. But you know, I hear that. I think there might be just a little bit of like, that's something you're looking for, but yeah, like it's possible. I just took this episode, I guess, at face value. For what it is. And it's just like sort of, it was interesting that they sort of wrapped up this Mobinga storyline. Not that the emotions of it will be wrapped up in any way. He's still going to have the ongoing, you know, trauma of losing his daughter, but like in such a weird way. I guess I just took this as like, we've been waiting for the Mbinga storyline to like sort of play out and finally find out what happened. We've talked about it on multiple episodes. Maybe this planet will be where they find the cure. Maybe this. And no, it's like, they found a cure, but the cure came with the baggage of her leaving. It was all very abrupt. You know what I mean?
Well, the whole thing is very abrupt. I think that's, I didn't feel very much of anything. And I kind of feel like it's, you know, they're very, very half-assed, very rushed in everything they're doing on the show. And, you know, we're 8 episodes into the first season.
Right.
And it's like, we've really barely seen him with her. You know, we just haven't really gotten too much of it. And to me, the emotional stakes just aren't there. It doesn't feel earned for him to be like weeping and she's leaving, and it makes sense.
I feel like earning the idea of, you know, someone weeping and crying because their child is gone is not something that takes much background work to do. But like, I hear you that it is very like, I thought we'd get a few of these episodes where like, mm-hmm. you kind of get to know the daughter a little bit and you get to know Mbinga a little bit more. And then something like this might happen or right. a cure is found or she dies or something like it does. I agree with you that it seems like I felt the emotions of this episode. This episode did hit me emotionally. Like, when she comes back as an adult and she's experienced like years of her life in the cloud, like that hit me, and him like seeing his daughter grown up and realizing that like there's no going back and all that stuff. I was just like, man, it was emotionally fulfilling for me, but it definitely felt abrupt for sure.
Yeah. It was funny because this felt like, if this was like the original series or TNG, this would have been like we are escorting an ambassador and his sick child to, you know, Alpha Theta 7 or some shit.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they would have come across the cloud, there would be hijinks, and then that kid would wind up going.
Yeah.
But, you know, to have them, it's sort of like an in-between, where it's like, we didn't just meet her this episode, but we haven't really seen him with her a lot, and they have built up to some degree that she's lonely, that she doesn't like being in the transporter buffer. Mm-hmm. They've definitely done that, and I know it's hard because kids grow up.
But also, I mean, we've like you said, it's the 8th episode. I disagree that we haven't seen a lot of her. Like, we haven't seen a lot of her in maybe like terms of characters we know across universes, but like, we've seen almost as much of this little girl as we have most of the crew. Like, almost every Mbinga scene up till now has been like him in there dealing with his daughter. And especially after last week with like, was it last week with the little boy where we got a lot of her? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, almost every week we at least check in on her. Like, he likes reading, he's reading to her or something. It's been a number of episodes that we've at least gotten a bit of her. We've probably spent as much time with her as some of the lesser crew members or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. I just wasn't feeling it. Of course, all of this came for me at the end of an episode I didn't like.
Right. Yeah, I mean, overall, this episode has very little meat to it. Well, except for the little, like, we're sitting here talking about the one thing that really happens this episode, which is, you know, Mbinga's daughter is tired of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
She asked one of the previous episodes, like, how long have I been in there? And he's like, a while. And I think it's only been a year.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, you know, she's getting restless, she doesn't like living that way, and she chooses to go. It not only did it seem abrupt for the show, but it also seemed abrupt to like trust this cloud creature with her. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It seemed very like a rash decision.
Yes, I think it would have mattered more to me, maybe, because we did. You're right. We have seen her with him a fair amount, but maybe it would have mattered more if like we got more instances of Mbinga choosing his daughter over the crew.
Right.
Because they had that bit at the beginning where Una came in and she was like, dude, why haven't you done this? It's because of your daughter. Like, you have to choose which one. You cannot let her take control over your duties.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's definitely was the theme of his decision at the end. Like, his decision to end this, like, fantasy was a decision to be like, no, I have to choose my crew. I can't choose my own personal life over the crew.
But, you know, I think there's something to be said for, like, they should have had a few more episodes where he was doing that, where he was choosing his daughter over the crew. Because he already did in the one episode where we find out about her.
Right. For so, sure.
Yeah. They we should have seen him struggle with that a little bit more, I think.
So the downside for me is that I was really interested. I found this very interesting and compelling, the idea that he has this daughter in the transporter buffer. And, you know, it's just sort of fantastical. It reminds me of, like, something from Doctor Who. It's just a very romantic idea. The idea that, like, this like, person that he loves is in the transporter buffer. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Mr. Freeze. You know, like that elicits this, like, emotional response because he's, like, has his love frozen, you know, like, yeah. In this case, it being a daughter, but still, there's this, like, there's a strong emotional pathos to that. And so to lose that so soon, I kind of thought that was going to be, like, an ongoing story with her and, like, them trying to figure out what to do with her. And then, of course, she's not gone. She's now, like, a cloud creature, and will we encounter her again, you know? It makes me wonder.
There's something interesting about that as well, because clearly she's nonlinear, because she lived all these years in just a few seconds.
Well, that's not necessarily nonlinear, but yeah, she could have just, like, their time could be dilated.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I guess I was also really influenced in my belief of that because of the writer of the book that he's been reading her.
Oh, yeah.
It's Benny Russell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's really fun. I did not catch that at all. For those of you not catching it, that's the... Wait, hold on. How... Yeah. Benny Russell was a real writer, right? And he was like having... And Cisco was having flashbacks to being him?
No, I don't think so. That was never confirmed at the very least.
Okay, so this is an Easter egg to a fantasy that was going on in Cisco's head, but it was being brought to him by the prophets who are nonlinear.
I doubt it means anything. Like, I've seen so many theories online, like, oh my God, what does it mean? And I'm like, it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, man, she could be one of the prophets, you know?
No.
She could be a man.
No. They will not reference it again.
I would not. I doubt you're right there. Like, they may not reference the Benny Russell of it all, but I bet they're going to reference his daughter again. Like, I bet she's going to be back.
Oh no, they'll reference his daughter, but they won't. I'm talking about the Benny Russell. They're not going to go back to Benny Russell.
Yeah. Also, is she? Yeah. I don't know. I may be looking too much into this, but the little girl wanted the two characters to get together. And in this recreation of it, those two characters were played by Una and Ortega, right? Mm-hmm.
Ortegas.
And it seemed like they had a romantic relationship in the fantasy, right?
It did.
And then also the little girl takes off to be with this cloud creature who she's befriended and now has lived a full life with, who she then at some point names Deborah after her mother. But they're clearly, like, you know, two beings living in the world together. And it was all like, kind of like, is there a lesbian thing happening here? Like a lesbian theme happening here? Or like the fact that she gendered this cloud creature as female and then like, and that was her partner, but then she didn't name it after the mother, made it even more confusing. I was like, I don't know what they're trying to say here. The little girl's imagining these two female characters together. That's cool. And then she's, you know, it seemed like they might be trying to say something with that, but I couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell either. The mother thing threw me as well, so I just kind of went, I will not speak of this.
Yes, I have stupidly opened my mouth.
Like, this one was better left not said.
Yeah, it really was the mother thing that, like, threw me completely. Because if it had just been, like, you named her Deborah, you had a friend named Deborah, or so, it'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, it seems like she's, like, this thing has become her partner in some way, and she has gendered it female.
Yeah, my internal dialogue was, she said, oh, I named her Deborah, and then I'm like, okay, because I was thinking about the Ortega thing.
Yeah.
And then she said after my mom, and I went, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe. So what is the relationship? And, you know, they're two clouds, so, like, their relationship does not have to conform to anything we think of as a relationship. But it did seem that the one major change she wanted in the book was that, and then I was like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, she has that in her character. And, like, the mother thing really did throw me off. It's funny that you had the same thought process. Surely we're not the only two. Surely listeners out there we're getting a lot of letters saying, like, nope, you're the only two that had that thought.
Yeah, and it's only because we've been friends with each other for so many years. Like, we just trained each other to think that way. Who knows where the original corruption came from?
My favorite thing about this episode was Captain Pike.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I feel like most of the time, this is a broad generalization, and definitely there are times it's undercut, but, like, I feel like most of the times the captains of, especially of this era, kind of have to be the cool guy, and the fact that the role he was playing in this fantasy was just, like, the utter, like, you know, cowardly, like, silly, like, running from everything guy. I don't know. It was just funny. It was just a funny, like, juxtaposition to the normal Pike. And it just seemed like Anson Mount was having a lot of fun.
Anson Mount did a great job here. And I didn't care for the episode because, number one, I don't really ever care for, like, the crew is now, you know, in some kind of a weird thing. And that's also part of my, like, they haven't earned it yet. Like, the novelty of seeing the crew being these drastically different characters isn't quite there for me.
Yeah, I get that. I think that's a really good point. Like, I was watching it thinking, like, how cool is this that they're willing to play these silly, crazy characters? But yeah, you're right. In a season 5, that's really impactful.
Season 5.
Why are we both on this podcast?
I don't know.
No, that's a really good point. That I think that could have been more earned.
Everybody did a great job, though.
Yeah,
except totally for Ortega's.
You just really don't like Ortega's.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, she has, like, this, like, I don't know, like, spunky 80s movie bully aesthetic that, like, that, like, I can see being annoyed by it, but I guess I'm not. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was just watching Stranger Things and thinking about her. I was like, yeah, she'd fit on that show pretty well.
Yeah, there was something I noticed in this episode that I guess because maybe her character needed a little more range on this episode. And I think I noticed one of the things that really bugs me is she's got this vocal fry going on. And she doesn't deviate in tone, really. So, like, a lot of her lines fall very flat because she can't get, or she won't change her vocal range. So, like, it sounds like she's just monotone.
A little monotonous.
Yeah. I think that's part of it.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. I hasn't bothered me, but yeah, I think that is definitely a sort of true thing about her voice. She's like, which is like a voice people have. So I guess it doesn't really bother me, but
I'm just trying to figure out, like, what it is I don't like.
That's good.
Exactly. You know, I don't want to just go like, I don't know, I hate her.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. I think that's a good way to do it. Like, try to figure out what it is about her that bothers you.
Yeah.
At least it gives you a game to play in her scenes.
Right. But I will say, Spock was my favorite deviation.
Oh, in this, yeah.
In this reality, because, girl, he hot. With that long hair.
he was indeed
yeah. But Himmer was the highlight of the episode.
Oh, really. For sure. I can't believe we've gone this long without mentioning Himmer.
Himmer should be in every episode. I don't know how they're not, like,
well, he's been in a lot of them, but I do think it's one of those, like, they've sort of slowly introduced him, and it's been good. And this episode where he really shined a lot.
Yeah,
when he did his abracadabra, and he, like, transported them out, that was pretty great. He just was loving it so much.
And I love all of his little snide remarks about science.
Yeah, look away, it will blind you. And they're like, "What about you?" And he's like, "I'm a wizard." It's real good. Real, real good. I like Himmer a lot in this episode.
I enjoy him.
Well, man, I enjoyed this episode, but but I think I agree with you that, like, the kind of episode that it was would have been better served in, like, a further season. I did really enjoy Himmer. Himmer's now, you know, I liked him from the beginning, but, like, I like how much fun he is wanting to have as a character. Like, not just the actor, but, like, him as a character seems to really want to have a good time. And
yeah,
he's like an actual thespian in this episode. He's, like, playing his role and he's enjoying it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I dug it.
I really enjoyed him. I enjoyed everyone for the most part, except for the ones I've already noted that I didn't. And yeah, but I don't know about my little theory that, like, they're changing the canon, but I'm not mad if they are, like, if they offshoot it or whatever, like, fine, let's do that, because that would alleviate so much of my, like, boredom. I'd be like, oh shit, they might actually do something, like, oh, Spock might die.
Yeah,
he still won't. But
yeah, no, I hear that. I think that's I guess I'm just trying to enjoy the episodes for episode's sake. Like we've said about my way of enjoying this show is not the threat of death. That's for sure not what this show's about. But there's a lot of shows I watch that don't have threat of death that I still enjoy. You know what I mean?
Well, no, it's not just about the threat of death. It's like, because they seem to be clearly, like, leaning in towards, like, Spock, you know, kind of fighting his human and human and Vulcan sides fighting, and his Vulcan side wants to be with Dupree, his human side seems to want to be with Chapel, honestly. So,
right.
It seems like there's a lot of, like, little things that don't necessarily lead to death that could be interesting. Like,
yeah, no, I agree with that.
With Chapel. But if we're going by, like, strict original series canon, I can't see that have ever happened. You know, like, that couldn't have happened, I don't think.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So,
I guess what I mean is not even just threat of death. That is definitely what I that is a big part of it. But also just, like,
unless you consider a relationship with Chapel death.
Only if it turns to marriage, my friend. Only if it turns to marriage.
Oh, Matt.
Go into the chapel, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say, I am married, and that is not the reason that every time I walk into Walmart, the door greeter starts screaming, "Dead man walking!" That is not the reason.
They've been screaming that at you since we were young men.
Something about my face. It's the way I look. Maybe my slouch.
All right, my friends. Thank you for joining us on the Star Trek universe. We'll be back soon. Jolan True.
Live long and prosper, and we will get to your feedback next time. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for listening to the Star Trek Universe Podcast, a Stranded Panda production. If you'd like to hear more from David C. Robertson, check out the DC On Screen podcast or maladjusted.tv for his web videos. If you'd like to hear more from Matthew Carroll, check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast or listen to his music. Just search for Matthew Carroll anywhere you get music.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.